Hi, Slough Church. Still longing for that time when we can be back together. But I hope in these current times you're enjoying our current series, The Jesus-Shaped God. I'm loving it. To be reminded week after week of just how special Jesus is a real blessing. And to see again and again how he turns our views of God and what life is all about on their head or right side up. And so refreshing. It really brings joy to our hearts as we see God through Jesus. And this week's no different. This week our subject is the volunteer God. You see, so many people have to start this view of God that he's controlling everything, that somehow he's manipulating everything. He's the biggest and the strongest, so he's always getting his will done. And if he wants us to do anything, he'll make that very clear. And we won't, you know. The truth is actually so far from that. You see, one of the most important things about God is that he loves freedom. And we get that right from the very beginning of the Bible. There are two trees in the garden. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And we get to choose which one we want. Later, you know, when Moses is leading the people out of Egypt and into freedom, God again in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I lay before you a choice, life or death. Choose life. And so this theme of God giving us choice is there throughout scripture, and it's dear to the heart of God, freedom. And so he wants you to be free, and your choices make a real difference with him. So that's why he's looking for volunteers. When God wants something done on the earth, when he's looking to bring some blessing, some good thing, wants to make something wonderful happen, he says, who will go for me? Who can I send? And that's what he says in Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 8, when Isaiah has this amazing revelation of God in the temple. He hears God saying, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? The same is true in heaven, actually. God deals with the angels in the same way. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20, he says, who will go and convince Ahab to do this thing? King Ahab, king of Israel, was a rotten man. You can read about that story there. But God is looking for a volunteer amongst the angels to go and do something for him. This is our God. God is looking to work with those who want to work with him. The question is, do we want to? Jesus, when he comes, works exactly the same way. And because he is God, we shouldn't be surprised. Jesus seeks volunteers. And that's the first thing I want to say to you today. Jesus is looking for volunteers. Are we going to be one? How did Jesus recruit his followers? Well, if you read the stories in the Gospels, you see him preaching the kingdom, telling people the good news that God is for them, forgiving sins, and then demonstrating it by healing the sick. This got the attention of people. And they were fascinated by him, and crowds would understandably gather around him to hear what he had to say. And in the midst of all of that going on, he would speak to people and say, come, follow me. They would then have a choice whether they got up and followed him or whether they carried on doing what they were doing. You know, Simon Peter and James and John, they were fishermen. They had a choice. They could have carried on fishing in Galilee. Jesus would have left them there. But they chose to leave their nets, to leave their father's businesses and to go follow Jesus. Levi, Matthew, could have sat at his tax collector's booth and just ignored the call when Jesus says to him, follow me. But there was something about the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There was something about the man and what he did and what he said that got hold of their attention, and they wanted to find out more and they wanted to follow him. So they entered in to discipleship with him. Now, Jesus never forced anybody into discipleship, never coerced any of us into following him. But if we take the time to listen, if we look for the signs, he's recruiting people the same way today. That's my story. I'm basically following Jesus today because I was amazed at the things he taught. When I sat down and read as an adult some of the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, I was blown away by some of the things Jesus said about how he could help us with our hearts. And then I saw wonders. I saw my brother become a Christian, and I saw the change that God worked in his life, how God restored some of the beauty that there was in him as a young lad, which I saw the world beat out of him. And I thought, if God can do that for my brother, maybe he can do it for me. So when I heard him say, "Follow me," I got up and followed him. So that's the way Jesus is looking to recruit volunteers. That's number one. The question is, will we volunteer for Jesus' duty? And if we do volunteer for Jesus' duty, what does that look like? What can we expect? Well, there's a story in the readings we've been reading this week. I just want to read out to us now from Luke's Gospel. It's a time when Jesus is sending out a group of people as volunteers. We can find it in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 20. After these things, the Lord appointed 72 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there. And say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near you.' But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You see, although Jesus sends out this group of people, and it was probably mainly men, but may have included a few women, he doesn't command them. These aren't people that are press-ganged into service. These are people that have gathered around Jesus, listening to his teaching, and have followed him, because they're excited at what they've heard and what they've seen. And then Jesus says, "Okay, you want to work with me? Then go this way, do this." And he gives them a mission. And that's what Jesus does for us. You know, Luke is the only gospel that records the sending out of the 72 or the 70, depending on which version you read. If we didn't have that story, we might think that it was just the 12 apostles that were gifted with this kind of ministry to go out and preach the kingdom and heal the sick, because all the gospels tell of the 12 being sent out. I mean, maybe not John, but Luke is the only one that gives this story. And so Luke reveals to us that this calling is a calling for all of Jesus's followers, not just for a few. Later on, Jesus would say, "Go out now and disciple all the world and teach them to do the things that I've taught you." And this is what he was talking about. So God is calling us. God is calling all of humanity to follow him. and looking for volunteers. The only question is, will we volunteer? And I love it. You know, the kingdom comes, the darkness is driven out as we work with God. And that's what we see in this story. They all come back really overflowing with joy because it's working, because the kingdom is coming as they've gone and been obedient, as they've done what Jesus has asked, as they've stuck their hands up and volunteered and stepped out. They've discovered a great joy. And my prayer is that you will discover that joy too. So let's look and see what the life of a volunteer might be like. If we're going to volunteer to work with Jesus, if we're going to volunteer for Jesus' duty, what might that entail? So, the first thing that Jesus says to them is, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. That's not very encouraging, is it? So, the first thing he's saying to us is, if you're volunteering for Jesus' duty, you're volunteering to be vulnerable. Just because you're working for me, working for God, who's the most powerful being in the universe, doesn't mean that you're going to be kept from all kinds of difficulties and distress. You're going to be surrounded by wolves. It's going to be fearful if you allow it to be. But if you know that I'm with you, then you can rise above the fear. You know, even Jesus experienced this freedom, whether he wanted to be vulnerable or not. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane before he gets arrested and crucified, because he's praying to his Father and says, Father, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass before me. I don't want to go to the cross, is what he was saying. I don't want to face that pain. I don't want to face that rejection and that torture. Please, if there's any other way, can you show it to me? And yet he says, not my will, but your will. If that's the way you need me to go, I'll trust you. I'll be vulnerable in that moment and allow those things to happen to me, trusting you, my Father. The early disciples, they followed Jesus' example. And so we read about in the book of Acts how they were imprisoned and stoned for their faith, some of them. Later, it would be the Romans that would persecute the church, and they would often throw Christians to the lions or have them take part in gladiatorial combats or execute them. So following Jesus was not a shortcut to safety and an easy life. Jesus says that you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we've got to expect persecution. And persecution and trouble does not mean that God's abandoned us. If you are facing persecution or trouble today, I want to say that to you. It doesn't mean that God's abandoned you. He's with you to overcome. Hallelujah. The next thing that Jesus teaches his disciples is that they've got to be dependent. He says, take no knapsack with you. Take no pair of sandals with you. No, take no extra tunic with you. If you read his sending out of the 12 in chapter 9, he says something similar to them. And basically, he's saying, don't take what you need to care for yourself just in case the world won't care for you. Be vulnerable again. It's to go out and trust me. Be dependent on me to provide for you. Don't take the extra pair of shoes in case your shoes wear out. Don't take extra money in case you need to pay for an inn or buy food. Go, and I will provide for you. And, you know, honestly, this is a big worry for us, isn't it? We live in a culture where money is important, and we, you know, we've got families, mortgages, etc., and it could be quite a big stress. My own testimony is, and you know, I don't want to put this on anybody else, but my own testimony is, when God called me to volunteer, he also provided a way. And I've seen that so many times, but twice in particular. Once when I came back from Nepal with my family and felt God say to give up my computer science, my computer work, my IT work, to do church work, God provided financially for us at that time. A lady came and prophesied. Many of you know her, Annette Curtis. She prophesied to me and said that God would give me a salary of 70K. I didn't believe her, but that was in November. And in the January of 2009, I had 72K in my bank account because God had provided it through a complicated set of circumstances. And then just a couple of years ago, when I stepped out of Leading River, again, I was stepping into the unknown. I was giving up my job, which was reasonable, and I still had a family and mortgage. And yet, I felt God was saying it was the right thing to do. And that year, again, God provided for us. And so there was a sale of a company, and we got some extra money come in when we needed it. So God is our provider. We don't need to cover all the bases in order to follow him. Let's trust him to care for us. It doesn't mean to be stupid. We still plan. We still do what we can. But if we hear the call, then let's just follow. Next thing. So we've got volunteers have got to be vulnerable. They've got to be dependent. It's sounding a bit scary, isn't it? He says, next thing, volunteers are empowered to bring peace. So he says, when you enter a town or place, bestow your peace on that house that you visit. If they welcome you, bestow your peace on them. And if it's a person of peace that lives there, your peace will stay with them. This is a true gift from God. You know, we carry a great peace because we know we're loved. We know we're careful. We know that in the end, all things will be well because God is with us. There's a huge sense of peace that flows from that. We foster teenagers in our house, and Sadie and I have this agreement together with God that the peace that we carry will overwhelm the chaos in the lives of the teenagers that we take into our home. And that has been our testimony. You've heard me tell this story, but I tell these stories just to encourage you. You know, I had a guy come to me with OCD. His face was haggard. His hands were all covered in cuts and grazes from constant washing. And as I was praying for him, I felt God say he was going to rewire his brain. And God did do 2 weeks later. And his testimony is that today, you know, 8 years on, he's still free from OCD. And his hands are clear and his face is brighter. You know, he's free because peace came to him when he had no peace. This is a warning for us, you know, that for those of us that want to bring the kingdom by power or by force. It doesn't come by power or by force. You know, in the Jews in Jesus' day, just as we had MAGA in the States, I guess they had MIGA. They wanted to make Israel great again. And they wanted to resist Roman occupation. They wanted to throw off their oppressors. And Jesus warned them, saying, you know, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. And because of that, Jerusalem is going to be ransacked, basically, and the temple is going to be torn down. You see, they were wooing earthly power. They were trying to fight in God's name. And God says, no, you go my way, the dependent way, the vulnerable way, the peace-bringing way. And that's the way the kingdom comes. It doesn't come with fighting. So, yeah, also God empowers us. God empowers us. He doesn't just send them out. He sends them out and says, yeah, I'm giving you authority and power over demons and over sicknesses to heal the sick. And he empowered them. Didn't send them out empty handed. A two-pronged attack it was. Be good news. Preach the good news. Preach about God's kindness. Tell people how much God loves for them and cares for them. And then demonstrate that, just as you watched me do it, Jesus says, by healing the sick. So volunteers are empowered to be good news and to heal the sick. Just recently, I wanted to stir this gift up. In lockdown, it's been harder because I haven't met as many people. And I heard of someone who suffered from long COVID and was getting worse and worse and worse. And for months, they've been struggling with this thing and not getting better. And I kind of, something in me raged about this. I thought, this is not right. I need to go and pray for that person. So I phoned them up and asked them if I could come round, even though it was against the rules, you know, and maybe pray, lay hands on them and pray for them. And they said, yeah, please do. So we met outside their home and I laid hands on them and prayed for them. And their testimony is that week they started to get better and now they're back to full strength. So praise God. But we need to keep stirring up these gifts in us because God gives gifts to those who really desire them. But we are empowered. We are empowered. And the last thing, of course, is joy. the disciples, they came back full of joy because it works. We did Alpha recently, and the lady, we talked about healing and stuff and told her some stories, and she prayed for someone in her family and it worked. And the next week she comes back and says, it works. I'm so excited. When I laid hands and prayed for them, this pain left. And so that's our joy, isn't it? That's our joy. Following Jesus leads to joy. Walking in vulnerability, walking in dependence, walking in peace, being good news, and praying and caring for the sick leads to joy. So go for it. Volunteers are filled with joy because they know that God is with them. So that's what Jesus is looking to invite us into, a life of joy, a life of fruitfulness, where we see God work in us and through us because we're dependent on him. We're choosing to be vulnerable, choosing to trust him and not ourselves, and looking to volunteer for Jesus' duty. So that's my challenge to you today. Will you volunteer for Jesus' duty this week? I know you guys, most of you do already. If you've never heard this before, if you've never stepped out before and tried to follow Jesus, then please take this opportunity today. Don't let anything hold you back. Invite Jesus into your heart. Invite the God who loves you into your life. And then stick your hand up and say, here I am, send me. And see what God does. Because God does give signs to those who stick their hand up and say, send me. God does show those who are looking to serve him and to do good the way ahead. He's looking for volunteers, though. He's not going to force it on us. He's not going to break into our busy lives unless we invite him. That's the best thing we can ever do. And for those of us that have been doing it, my prayer and my encouragement is just keep on and don't give up and step it up and step out in more faith. And just experience the joy of knowing that God is with you. Because I guarantee you, if you step out and try and be good news and care for the sick, do those two things and bring peace and prepare to be vulnerable, God will meet you. And you will have stories to tell of God's kindness to you and God's kindness through you and wonders happening around you. Amen. So I bless my brothers and sisters in Slough, Lord Jesus. I pray that they would be outrageously and abundantly blessed so that others would talk about them jealously and they want to be more like them. Bless them, Lord God, with stories and wonders, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be great volunteers, guys. Bye.